Blog Talk Radio.
Take my life. What I long for, holiness, it's what I need, yeah, yeah. Holiness, holiness, it's what you want for me.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man here on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome everyone listening out there from all over the world, wherever you may be listening from. I thank God for you, and I am just overjoyed that you decided to join us here tonight. We are a bit early. We normally come on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, but today, we have a special treat for you. Today, we're going to have Brother Tom Lyons and Reverend Joseph C. Murphy come on with a topic, the purpose of the church, the purpose of the church. And those men of God will be on shortly. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and give you some information. Listen, again, you're listening to God's Word to Man on Blog Talk Radio. The screen that you're listening on should have a follow button for you to press. That will alert you every time we go live on Blog Talk Radio. We also have a Facebook page, God's Word to Man Facebook page. If you are on Facebook, please go on over and follow that page, like that page, because we also go live. We do live videos. The brothers, they come on, they do live lessons, teachings, preaching, sermons. Sometimes we just post something very encouraging. So if that's the type of thing that you like to hear and see, go on over on Facebook if you're on social media and like and follow that page. We also have an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-O-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Listen, if you don't feel like calling in, if you don't feel like, you know, you're not on social media, not on Facebook, you say, hey, Brother Manny, how can we get in contact with you? Well, that's the way you would be able to do it. You would have to email us. And we would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, we definitely would love to pray with you. And we're just very excited to have this platform to just be here for you. Again, this is for the people. We are commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel every way we can. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in a church. Doesn't have to be, on DVD or CD. We also have these resources, these live stream resources, these podcast resources that we must use to get the gospel out to as many people as we can. And we ask for your support through prayer. Yes, that's right. Pray for us. You know, keep us up in your prayers, because this isn't easy by no means, because, you know, Satan doesn't want us doing what we're doing here on this cast and on social media. Trust me, he would rather not have us doing it. So, you know, we're constantly getting things thrown in our way to prevent us from doing what we need to do. So, but we still overcome. And I am excited again to have you. Just some updates. I know we're all, you know, dealing with this coronavirus situation globally. You know, I always want to give the updates on what's happening with the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of people who recovered from the COVID-19. As a lot of times we don't get that information, how many people recovered. And surprisingly enough, no matter what they show on TV, the number of individuals who have recovered from the COVID-19 coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, is nearly double the amount of people who have died from the virus. And that's in the United States. Worldwide, there's been nearly 2 million cases. About 130 individuals have passed or lost their life or whatever, you know, due to the virus. But over 500,000 cases globally, the individuals have recovered. So there is hope, everyone. Let's just keep that in mind. There is hope. And we can have faith as being believers, born-again believers. Not only will the Lord hide us and keep us safe and see us through a thing, but here's evidence that people are recovering every single day from this pandemic. So I want us to all just thank God and give God praise and honor and glory, because, you know, that's 500,000 people. Now, I understand you're saying, Brother Manny, listen, that's still over, you know, 1.3, 1.4 million people, still cases we don't know about. Well, you know what? We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying that people are going to continue to recover at this clip that's happening, even higher clip, you know, because at the end of the day, we all would want to just kind of get back to some, you know, semblance of just, you know, normalcy, or get back to, you know, what we were doing before this thing kind of took us by surprise, okay? So I just want to give you that information. In the U.S., over 50,000 people recovered. Worldwide, 10 times as many people have recovered from the virus, over 507,000. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring one of the brothers on. God bless you, Rev. How are you today?
I'm blessed, my brother. Thank you, Brother Manny, as always. It's a pleasure to be on. May God continue to bless you and your household. And I'm just here to enjoy some good word from the Lord and looking forward to today's topic.
Amen, amen. Yeah, we have Brother Tom coming on in just a few minutes. He hasn't gotten on yet. So, you know, I'm just kind of giving the people an update on this coronavirus. You know, there's a lot of people out here, and we're talking about church folk, that's just absolutely terrified. You know, they hear all the horror stories about what's happening. And as I said, you know, we don't hear about the victory report, as we call them in church. They're victory reports. Over 500,000 people worldwide have recovered from the virus. 50,000 in the United States. That's nearly double the number of deaths. The number of deaths are around 27,000. And we really, we mourn and we feel compassion and empathy for those who have lost someone due to this virus, but we also want to recognize that nearly double of that number have recovered. And so we thank God for that, brother. Right? I mean, that's
Hallelujah.
Something to celebrate.
Amen, certainly. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, while we wait on Brother Tom, I just want to give you some information. I know you've been... It's probably been beaten into your head, you know. But I always like to get some information on you know, what to do, you know, to try to avoid, you know, this acquiring this virus. You know, the number one thing, listen, everybody's talking about this huge word, this big word that the president learned, mitigation, social distancing, right? Okay, so that is pretty much the best way, one of the better ways to try to prevent yourself from acquiring this virus is to really stay at home, stay sheltered in if you can, you know, avoid going out as much as possible, and unless you just have to get your supplies and your resources. And when you come home, to make sure that you wash your hands, they say for at least 20 seconds. Now, I've spoken with individuals over the last few weeks. Some people say they just they get into the shower or the bathtub and wash all over when they come from outside. They don't just wash their hands. They take showers. And of course, if soap or water is not readily available, you can use hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. I would honestly recommend 90% alcohol to cover all surfaces of the hands and to rub the hands together. If, you know, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth when your hands are unwashed. And as I said, stay home if you can. If you're feeling a little under the weather, stay home if you can. All right. Unless it becomes unbearable, you know, and you have to go, we understand that. But if you can really nurse yourself, if you're a healthy individual who just feeling under the weather and you can nurse yourself back to health, I would definitely stay home because, you know, the hospitals are overcrowded and it's a breeding ground for those viruses and that bacteria and all that stuff. So would you agree, Rav?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I think whatever works for people, that they should make sure they put that into practice. Some of the stuff seems a little bit over the top. I've heard people saying not only do they wash their hands, but they take off all the clothes they have on and they immediately throw it in the washing machine. And, you know, whatever's going to give somebody peace of mind. But I would just tell people, you know, yes, make sure you're doing all these things and you're practicing all these safe practices. But first and foremost, keep God as the head of your precautionary regiment, because when it's all said and done, yes, we should be practicing what the president and the governor and mayor are saying. But listen, we serve a God who's able to prevent it from coming upon us, from us being a part of it, but we also serve a God who's able to heal us. And so I would admonish the people to not get too wrapped up in COVID-19, and they put more faith in it than they do in the Almighty God.
Amen. Well said, Rev. I want to bring on the brother. He's joined us now, your twin, although he has a twin.
Amen.
He already has a twin, but God bless you, Brother Tom. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you guys doing today? Hey, good to hear from you, Rev.
God bless you, Brother Tom. Brother Tom, I found out something the other day that made me like you even more, my brother, that you were a fellow
that?
Mighty man.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Oh, wow.
That's my
you
identical
didn't go to
twin
Dunbar.
Brother. My identical twin
Theo
brother went to Dunbar.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, okay. I still love you, though, Brother Tom. I still love you.
I went to Simeon.
Oh, well,
oh,
yeah, that
I
is
know,
funny.
Man.
I'm not. That's different.
That's my bad. That's my bad, Rev. I botched that one, but that explains why he always missed those bunnies when we played in the gym.
That's okay. Still
that
same color.
I regret not going to Dunbar with Theo. I will say that.
Hey, Brother Tom. At least you didn't go to King. At least Simeon has
yes,
the same
sir.
Colors as Dunbar, so you're good.
Well, Brother Tom, I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on the broadcast today. You know, in this day and time with so much uncertainty, you know, the people are looking for a word. You know, we're at home. You know, we're quarantined in. And a lot of, I would say, a lot of the church is kind of wondering, you know, okay, what do I do? You know, what's going on? You know, and so having you agreed to come on and share something with us today, the purpose of the church, I really appreciate that. Can you kind of go into what led into that, you wanted to do this?
Well, you know, I think, and I hope Rev is still online, but I think, honestly, the church, people are confused, Brother Murphy. And the scripture tells us that God is not the author of confusion, right?
That's correct.
And honestly, a whole lot of people, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:33, you know, God's not the author of confusion. And a lot of people are confused in this day and time about a whole lot of things. They're confused about the church. What is the church? What is its purpose? And what should the church be doing? How should the church respond to this or respond to that? They're confused about a lot of that kind of stuff. And so they don't really get an in-depth knowledge of the purpose of the church. And then those that are in the church need to get reminded and rerouted about what the purpose of the church is. And that's why in a time where we used to praise that it was an information age. We've heard that term before. It's an information age. We used to praise that it was an information age. But the reality is this information age that we're in, where people can go on and they can Google and they can go on Yahoo search and they can, from their finger, from their watch even, from their wrist and from their fingertips, they can search tons and tons of information. And a lot of times that has led way to confusion because there's a lot of false doctrine that is out there. There's a lot of things out there that people are getting pulled into just by virtue of is a lot of itchy ears. And so we're in a place where we've got to teach more than ever before. And just like I shared a few weeks ago, in Ephesians 4:11-12, and we're going to come to that text, I'm going to give the analogy that Dr. Richard Daniel Hinton, I'm not a plagiarist, and so I'm going to make sure that he gets credit for his own revelation from the verse. But I like how he put it out. But God gave a purpose for the church. He gave a purpose for the leadership of the church, for the structure of the church. And people need to know why God instituted the church.
Amen. So, amen.
That's why we're here.
Amen. I mean, when we first spoke about this, that got me thinking too. You know, it sounds like something very easy to answer. What is the purpose of the church? But when you start thinking, you know, I've seen so many versions of the church just over my time, over my time being in church. You know, I was born and raised in the church, you know, and I was born and raised in what you would consider a Pentecostal church, you know, and, you know, the young ladies had to behave a certain way and dress a certain way, and the men had to behave a certain way and dress a certain way, and you know, we were allowed to do certain things and certain things we weren't allowed to do. I remember a lot I used to love watching TV growing up, and there were certain things that my mother would not let us watch because she was aware and cognizant of what could be released into our home, you know, by watching certain programming where it had to do with magic or sorcery or vampires or whatever, you know. And I've seen that change from as we said in the last broadcast, holiness or hell kind of culture to now pretty much we have multiple services where we talk about receiving things and prosperity and anything goes, but, and that's not all churches, that's, you know, some churches that I've attended, and there's no real substance. You don't have any real substance to hold you, to keep you, to prepare you to face when you walk outside of those church doors, you know. So it's very interesting to see what it is that you have to present. And, you know, feel free to stop and you know, if you would like, Rev is still on the line, if you would like him to, you know, comment or anything, I'll just stay silent so that, you know, if you receive a call in or something like that, I can alert you, okay? And if you need me to read, I can also do that for you as well.
Yeah, so let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word and your power, your life. We thank you for your strength, God, and we come on to share the word of the Lord tonight. And we just thank you, God, because your word is truth and life. For you said in your word in the book of Isaiah, you said, grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, it shall stand forever. And we thank you that your word is forever. It is written, and it is sure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, I want to start by, Brother Manny, if you don't mind, I want to start. We'll go to Luke, the 10th chapter, and I'm just going to do some teaching tonight. I want to be thorough, but I want to be short. Just so people have something, a quick bit, to some meat to put on their bones tonight. I'm a word man. For those of you who have never heard me teach a little bit, I am a Bible believer. I don't change the word for my own purposes, but I believe that the word of God to be the infallible truth. I believe God's word to be sure, and I believe the word of God to be instructions for our life. And it's important that we know that God had an intention when he defined and instituted the church. And so all the scripture that he gives us to guide us in his word, according to 2 Timothy 3 and the 16th verse, all scripture, it comes from the Lord. It's God breathed and is useful unto us. Even unto our very life, it's for us. He tells us in another text in the book of Hebrews, he tells us, for the word of God is quick. I believe that's Hebrews 4 and 12. He says, for the word of God is quick. That means alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow, and soul and spirit, and the thing that the word does most, it is a discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That means the word is everything we need to guide us, to clean us, to teach us, and to build us. That's what the word of God serves a purpose for. So let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter. In Luke chapter number 10, insightful again. So I'm going to give you four foundational purposes of the church, the reason that the church is to exist, and that the Lord Jesus Christ founded the church. There are some who say that Peter was the founder of the church. No, he wasn't. Jesus was the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the founder of the church. The church is built on his blood and his sacrifice. Jesus is the foundation of the church. Let's establish that. Jesus is the foundation of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. Well, man, you might read it in Luke, the 10th chapter, Luke chapter number 10. And after we read this, I'm going to list off four foundational principles of the gospel and four foundations of why the church was established. Four foundations of the church. Now, every foundation, every building that's built, doesn't matter how wide it is, doesn't matter what it looks like, every building has to have a foundation.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Building. And most buildings we go in, and most rooms we go in, they got four corners. Is that right?
Amen.
So those four corners, when we look at the world has four corners. We call them the cardinal points, north, south, east, and west. Everything we look at has to have a foundation. And when you build upon that foundation, you build it up square. And so look at this, Luke, the 10th chapter through the 10th verses. We're talking about the purpose of the church.
Amen. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Mm-hmm. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you.
Amen. Amen. So it's important. Here Jesus calls 70 outside of the disciples that he already had. That's an interesting thing because when we look over in the book of Exodus, it is when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, as they are traveling, he sees them, Moses, struggling to lead the people. And he tells Moses, I want you to take 70 elders. Ain't that something? And I want you to take some of your glory and your anointing, and I want you to put it on them. And I want you to give them authority so that they can help you rule the people. And the greater matters will let you do. So God establishes leadership, and he sets order through his leadership. So here, I want to give you four things that are the foundational purpose of the church. When he calls his disciples, he tells them in Matthew, the 28th chapter, this is what we have come to know as the Grand Commission. What Jesus tells his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This is how the writer Matthew closes his book, with the words of Jesus after he had spent 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection. He spent 40 days teaching them and walking among them. Jesus makes this statement. He tells them, go ye out. And so I want to tell you the first foundational principle and call of the church is to go out. Evangelism, mm-hmm. He has called us to reach the lost, to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not come to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners unto repentance. But he tells mm-hmm. us it is our duty and our responsibility to go out. How many know that we are missing evangelism in our world today?
Amen.
That's one of the real
Amen.
Things that we're not getting that evangelism. We spend a lot of money on foreign missions, but I keep telling our church, I keep telling our organization that there's a great mission field right in front of our eyes. Oh, my goodness. There's a great mission field right in front of our eyes. We see in front of us a harvest. Look at what Jesus says in that 10th chapter of Luke. He said something very powerful in this chapter. He wants to draw the disciples' attention that he's sending out. And he doesn't have to tell, listen to this, listen. Jesus has no need to make this statement, but he makes it for a purpose. He has no reason to tell them this, but he tells them, he says, I want you to know, let's look down to Luke the 10th chapter, back what Brother Manny just read.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in the second verse, the harvest is truly great. But the laborers are few. And then he tells us to pray you, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, he's the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Go your way, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So we know that there are many to be harvested, but the laborers are few. Christ is just saying that it's the church's responsibility not only to go out, but we've got to pray that God would send laborers in with us to help us reach the harvest. The scripture
Amen.
Says also that it's important. God delights in us winning souls. Jesus did not come, just so we can have a story to tell every April or at the end of every March. Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. It is important that we carry out the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to evangelism. He comes to seek and to save them that are lost. And so it's our job to make sure that we carry out the foundation that he puts out in Luke 19 and 10 when he tells us, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save them that are lost. That's in Luke 19 and 10. Jesus came to save them that are lost. Everything I'm going to give you is going to be scripture. He came to save them that are lost. In Matthew 28 chapter, the 19th to 20th verse, when he talks about the grand commission, notice he says again, go ye therefore what? Out. Is that what he says? He says, go out. And see, the churches, I like somebody wrote a statement and there's a name of several churches, church without walls. But are we really being the church without walls? Do we really know what the definition of what a church is? The reality is that we are the body of Christ. If you've been saved and you've been redeemed by the blood, you are the body of Christ. And because you are the body of Christ, it is your job. What we have today is we have untrained, undiscipled, renegade Christians. Oh, man. I said we got untrained, undiscipled, renegade Christians. They believe in the star of the ministry. Uh-huh. Because let me tell you something. Anytime you're doing something good, it is going to draw the attention of others. It's going to draw the attention of others. But people are attracted to the star. They're attracted to the ministry and the glow of the ministry, but they're not really focused on the purpose of the ministry, and that's winning souls. How are we having services without opening up an invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we preaching funerals right. and not opening up invitations to the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we standing up on Sunday morning preaching an Easter message, and when we get through and we get through running with the organ and all of that kind of stuff, we don't offer salvation? There's something wrong with that. Because the purpose of this gospel, Jesus said in Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man came to save. It's in the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's our reason. Uh-huh. It's our reason, our purpose to do the mission of the gospel when it comes to evangelism. Go ye out, Matthew 28. The second thing I want to talk about is we are to serve. this is one of the things Jesus talked about, it that we ought to serve. Let he who is greatest among you first be called what? A servant. He who is greatest among you, we must learn to serve. Serving is our duty. Let's go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 11th verse. Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 11th verse. Brother Mercer, can you read that? Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 11th verse tells us about the second principle or foundation of the church is to serve. Let's read that.
But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
Mm-hmm. He that
and
is
whosoever
greatest
shall...
among you. Yeah, go ahead.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Go on down to that verse, since we're there.
But
says,
woe unto you,
go ahead.
Scribes uh-huh. and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in.
Oh, we got a whole lot of scribes and Pharisees right now. We got a whole lot of people. They know the letter. They know the scripture. They're schooled in what the law should be. They know all about all of that. We got a whole lot of that going on. But you shut up heaven yourselves. You don't let nobody enter in. You don't let nobody go out. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that you're not serving the way that you should serve. You're not reaching the way that you should reach. You're not touching the way you should touch.
That's it.
It is our responsibility to serve. My God.
Yes,
God wants us to serve others. You cannot say that you love God and not serve others. You can't do
Amen.
It. That's part of the foundation of this gospel. Serving, it means giving of yourself. Hallelujah. It means waiting on somebody. You know, in the natural term, we go to a restaurant. That waiter serves up. She takes our order. She doesn't come there. I want you to go to a restaurant. Have you ever been to a restaurant and the waiter walked up to your table and said, I would like for you to take my order. I like some steak, medium well, some eggs. You would look at that waiter like they're crazy because they're supposed to be there to serve you. Well, that's how I take the church today. Oh, my God. Amen. People are walking up to us and we are sitting. We're supposed to be going to these tables to serve others, and instead we're going over there and telling them we need a steak and egg. My God, we need
yes,
something
sir.
From them instead of us giving something that they need. It's important that we
Amen.
Learn the power of servitude. Yeah, servitude is very, very important. It's a foundational part of the church. We must
yes, sir.
Serve. We've got to serve. How can we call ourselves Bible believers and we don't serve? We have a whole lot of
yes,
people,
sir.
As I said earlier, who've been undiscipled. We fail to train people what it means to serve. we fail to train people what it means to evangelize. And I'll tell you, even some of the old way, we thought we were training people to serve by obeying the pastor. We thought we were training people to serve if they listened to the mother and the deacons of the church. But God tells us to go out. We should be training people how to win souls. We should be training people how to serve people. It's important. The Bible tells us that one waters, but it's God. One souls, one waters, but it's God that gives what? The increase. So the second foundation thing there is serving. Servitude is extremely important. So it's important for us to remember that we've got to make sure we are doing our job by serving others. Don't you know that you're going to serve somebody, if you're serving with a pure heart, you're going to serve somebody who may not follow you to church next Sunday, but they're going to remember that you served them. They're going to remember when they were in need that somebody who had the cross on their back, somebody that was a Christian, reached down to them in their hour of need. And what you just did there, you just planted a seed in him. And this John, St. John 4:37, Jesus is teaching about the sower. Hallelujah. And he's talking about the harvest of souls, the harvest of reaping souls. And it's so, so, so important that we understand that souls are not reached inside of the church. There are very few people, and this is a moment while coronavirus is going on, there's very few people who are going to come through our physical doors. And don't you know in this time that we're living in, we especially need the wisdom of God to win souls. In the 70s, evangelism, there was an emphasis in America on evangelism in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And one of the things that they were famous for was knocking on doors, going through communities. Well, in the day and time we live in, we might not be taken so well to knock on doors. And that's why we must pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit on how to evangelize and how to serve. He that winneth souls is wise. The Bible tells us that. That's Proverbs 11:30-31. He that the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. The third foundational thing, and this is what I want to really get into, it's called love. Ooh, my God. There was no greater sacrifice than that of the Lord Jesus Christ to show his love towards man. And it is in St. John 13:35-36, and we talked about that a little bit last week on the radio broadcast, but the foundation is love. Jesus makes a statement in this chapter, St. John 13:35-36. The writer records that Jesus makes a statement. He says, I want you to know that love is every Christian's identifying mark. I preached a message in South Florida about 5 years ago, and I said, what's your sign? I'll tell you why. Some of you may laugh at this. You know, I went through a time in dating where in the process of dating, I noticed that women would often stop and say, what is your zodiac sign? You must be a Capricorn. Come on. You know, just another one. You must be a Taurus because I can see the bullish attitude in you. Or you must be a Pisces, you know. They would say these things, and I said, you know, I don't believe you can really know me based on my zodiac sign, but I do know that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody should know you by this sign. Jesus says in St. John, the 13th chapter, read it, Brother Manny, the 13th chapter, the 35th and the 36th verse, Jesus makes a statement, and he says, this is every Christian sign.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
Well, wait a minute. If he says by this, is that an identifying mark? That sounds like an identifying mark to me. Go ahead.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter
you
said unto him,
love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to have love. Jesus makes that statement.
Yes, sir.
The way that people will know that Christ is on the inside of you is they see love. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Then the scripture tells us, how can a man say he loves God? Uh-oh, this going to get some folks in trouble. How can a man say he's loved God whom he's never seen and hate his brother, oh, my goodness, who he sees every single day?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that Christ lives in you? Brother Manny, can we go to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter? This is commonly called the chapter of love. This is commonly called the chapter of love. Where he says, this is a statement that Paul reads. Brother Manny, do you have the Message Bible version there?
Do I have which version?
The Message Bible.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I'm not against other versions of the Bible because when I go in my study, I like some of these breakdowns, although I never study without its foundation being the original King James Version. But I like some of the breakdowns in the Message and the Amplified Bible. And I like it. And sometimes when I'm in those other versions, I pray before I read the word always. But sometimes when I'm in those other versions and I'm doing a deep delve study, I consider what I'm sharing tonight to be surface. But when I do something deep and delve, and I'm going from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm over in Jeremiah, and then that reference takes me back to Ezekiel, and then that reference takes me back to Numbers, and I'm going through, and I'm just traveling through the word of the Lord, I like to have the King James Version. But sometimes these versions will help. But I always pray because if one of these other versions does not line up, the Holy Spirit will teach me and let me know.
Amen.
No, that's not bringing the right meaning to what the Spirit is trying to say. You know what I mean? But I like this Message version. Do you have it, Brother Manny?
Yeah. Where do you want me to start?
Can you read in verse 1 of the Message version?
Yeah. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate.
if I could speak eloquent, I could dissect scripture, hermeneutics, and homiletics. I can do all of that. But if I do not have love on the inside of me, all of my knowledge has wasted away to nothing.
Man.
If I don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaking of rusty gates. Y'all heard them gates when you open them rusty gates? That's that irritating sound. You're nothing but an irritation to the body of Christ. You're an embarrassment to the body of Christ. If you say you love Jesus and there's no love on the inside of you, something's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something's wrong with that.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse.
You want me to stay in the Message Bible or you want me to go back?
Yeah, stay in the Message. I'll stay in the Message because this is one I got a note by in the Message too. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse.
This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Come on, man.
All right, now.
That took some That puts something, that puts a great broken down text to that. Hallelujah. If you say you love God, you are the one that made, what happened to God's love? My God, what happened to his love? You said you had it. It was you who made it disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hallelujah. It was you. It was you who made it disappear. Listen to what the regular King James Version said, so you know we didn't deviate, but it was just a breakdown. It said, hereby perceive we the love of God. That word perceive, this is how we understand the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But who will have his love be good and see his brother have need and shed off his bowels of compassion from him? And how dwelleth the love of God in him? Mike, I don't think that translation changed. I think it gave us some insight. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It was a good breakdown. Mm-hmm. My little children, let not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Do it in deed and in truth. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the fourth foundation of principle. God gave us a fourth foundational principle when he told the disciples in Matthew, the 28th chapter, where we were, and also in Luke 10, he said, I want you to teach them all things that you have seen and heard.
Hmm.
He wants us to teach them. So the fourth foundation of is teaching and preaching the word of truth. And I emphasize teaching and preaching the word of truth.
Yeah.
There is so much false doctrine out there. And so it's important for us to teach and preach the word of truth. And I'm going to go back into that teaching and preaching as I get into now, as I shift. But I want to go back to Matthew where he tells us in Matthew, the 28th chapter, amen, as he get ready to close that book, and he gives us, it within the Grand Commission, Jesus gives us a foundational principle by which the church is founded upon. He is the chief cornerstone, and he founded the church. He told Peter, he said, Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He asked Peter a question. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. What did Jesus mean by that? He asked him a second time. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that love. He said, feed my lambs. Then he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Amen?
Amen.
So when he says feed his sheep, Jesus is talking about teaching and preaching sound doctrine.
Oh my God.
He's talking about teaching and preaching. Look at what he says in verse 20 of 8 and 20 of the book of Matthew. He gives these commands. He says, go out. Go out. Teach. Baptize. And then he says, teaching will observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them. Jesus has said in the scripture, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love. I want you to love one another. Okay, so let's go. I want to tie in the seven things that are hindering the work of the church. Because I don't think you can, these things tie in so heavily. So four foundational things of the church: evangelism, serve, and I can go deeper in these different topics and give you more scripture, but for the sake of time, evangelism, serving, love, and the teaching and preaching of the word of truth. Those are the four foundational principles that Jesus established the church for. We ought to evangelize and tell everybody about Jesus, reach the lost. We ought to serve. We ought to love. And we ought to teach the word of God in purity. Seven things. I want to give you seven quick things with scriptures tied that are hindering the work of the church. These are hindering the work. I gave you the foundational purpose. Jesus died. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our Savior. He died for us. Scripture reiterates that in that, and we read it. Amen. In 1 John 3:16, 17, 18, he died. His love was there for us. He died. He gave himself a ransom for our lives. Now, seven things hindering the work of the church. Number one. Oh, I know my brother Gonorrhea gonna love this. False doctrine. False doctrine is a serious hindrance of the work of the Lord. Can we go to 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and then we're gonna go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number one, and I'm gonna read this in the King James Version. And we're gonna also go to 1 John because it's important for us to know false doctrine exists. And by the way, the teaching and preaching the word of truth, when God established the church and he gave leadership to the church, he sent these 70 out in Luke 10. But then Paul picks it up in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 and says he gave some apostles. I'm going to go into that. But false doctrine is a very dangerous thing. For those that are like not really in-depth studiers, or those that that can't be overcrowded with a lot of wealth of information at one time and need time to process, there's a very small book, but it's heavy in weight. Brother Manny, can I share this book information as long as we're credited on the show?
Absolutely.
All right. So it's a very deep book, and it's called I think every believer should have this in their library. I'll tell you why. If you are a new Christian, and even if you're a Christian that's been around a while, one study by the American Religious Society said that Christians are the least educated, not only about their faith, but they're also the least educated about other faiths. And how can you defend your faith if you're least educated about others' faith? You don't even understand what others are preaching and teaching around you and why they believe what they believe, the foundational. There's a book called Fast Facts on False Teaching. I've had this book for years. I bought it four times because I thought I misplaced it, and I ended up finding it somewhere, right? I've bought this book four times, and it's called Fast Facts on False Teaching. It's by Ron Carlson and Ed Decker. And it's pretty, if you're a deep studier, this might be surface for you, but there's some good foundational truths in this book about the gospel versus other faiths, okay? So it's a really, really good book. False doctrine is a really dangerous thing that is hindering our churches. It's hindering the work of the church. These are seven things hindering the work of the church. Now, 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Are you there, Brother Manny?
Yeah, I'm there already.
Okay, go ahead. We're going to go to verse number one.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding. Forbidding to marry and commanding, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Oh, man. All right. Now, he's telling us here that the Spirit has, and I can give you when he says the Spirit speaking expressly, Rev can probably agree with me that he's saying the Spirit has warned me. Woo, my God. Or as we say today, God spoke to me in the Spirit. Paul received this revelation in the Spirit. And didn't this thing come to pass? So he has not lied about
a lot of vegans.
Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just said we got a lot of vegans and vegetarians.
Okay, man. So he hasn't lied about what happened. He said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed or giving into seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, my God. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding the marriage. That's false doctrine. The Bible never forbid the priest to marry. How did Aaron have children? It's not Bible. How did Levi have a house? That's not Bible. How Levi gonna make children and have a house without sex and a wife? It didn't happen. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. Now, if you choose like me, I'm pescatarian. If you choose for any reason that you don't want to eat meat, don't put it on the Lord.
That's right.
Because when Christ came, he freed us from the law. You hear what I'm saying? He fulfilled the law, should I say. He fulfilled the law. He brought the law up to its full intent. And the full intent of the law was to bring man into communion with God. And man couldn't come into communion with God without a sacrifice before. And Jesus had to be the complete sacrifice for our sin. He had to be that lamb, that Passover lamb, that lined up like the rest of the lambs, selected on the 10th day, sacrificed on the 14th day. And he got up the day after the Sabbath, according to John 20. So we gotta know our word. We gotta be scrupulous. Now listen to this. That's why 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, can never be put into a Christian more than any other verse in the Bible. Many verses can be are powerful to us, but nothing can be put out there like 2 Timothy 2:15, because it says it plainly. It says it clearly. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's it.
Let's go to 1 John 4 chapter real quick. 1 John chapter number 4, and I'm going to speed through 2 through 7. But 1 John chapter number 4, because false doctrine is heavy in our churches. And that's why in 1 John chapter number 4, he tells us to be careful. He said, don't you believe every spirit? But try the spirit whether they are God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, Paul said, even back then, the spirit of the Antichrist had already entered into the world. Hallelujah. We need to be careful about false doctrine. We need to know the word of God. We need to be in depth in Scripture. Why do we need to be in depth in Scripture? Why do we really need to? Let me tell you something. No Christian that wants to be strong in the Lord cannot have time in the word of God. If you don't have time in the word of God, if you won't show me a weak Christian, I'll show you a prayerless Christian. I'll show you a Christian that don't study. If you show me a weak Christian, show me somebody that's been around the church still struggling with the same thing that they've been around for 20 years. I'll show you a Christian that doesn't pray, and I'll show you a Christian that doesn't study the word of God. Hallelujah. We have to be strong in the word of God and in depth in study, because the word of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired of God. And I tell you the greatest thing about the scripture, I know brother going to get ready to shout here, man. The greatest thing about the scripture is John chapter 1.
Yeah.
Where he tells us that the word of God literally wrapped its. Now, what word is he talking about? He's talking about that word that was there in the beginning, where he said, in the beginning, God. That's the word. We can stop right where we have. Those are in the beginning, God.
Yes, sir.
And the scripture tells us in St. John chapter 1, it tells us that God was manifested unto us in the flesh. Didn't it tell us that? In the beginning was the Word. What Word? In the beginning was the Word of God. Jesus was that Word that came out of the mouth of God and went out and created everything that we see in front of us. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. Jesus is the Word of God. And that Word is pure. Hallelujah. He tells us, so shall my word be. I think it's Isaiah 55 and 11 that goeth forth out of my mouth. See, you know, when you love this word, you get happy. I'm sorry, I'm getting happy over here. And that scripture is flowing. Hallelujah. So we got to be careful, and we got to know the importance of the word of God. And let me tell you this. Hosea 4 and 6 tells us this. And Hosea 4 and 6 tells us, my people perish. Another familiar scripture. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Show me a weak Christian, I'll show you a Christian that don't have a word life. Show me, how can you be familiar with God and not be in his word? It's impossible. How can you have a relationship? Listen, let me tell you something. What is it that commences a marriage? Don't get silent now. Come into me and see. Hallelujah. You cannot be connected with God if you're not connected with the Word, because the Word is God and God is the Word. God. Hallelujah. So the number two, this is seven things hindering the church from fulfilling those foundational things. Number two is the lack of prayer. The lack of prayer and fasting. Luke 18 and 1. Y'all know that he said, men are to always pray. And what?
Not faint.
Prayer takes us into communion with God. It is in Isaiah chapter number 6 where he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
On the Lord's day.
What is he? Where was he? He was in prayer. When he said, I was in the Spirit, he had connected with God in prayer, because the only thing that can connects man with God is prayer. And you got to pray out of your flesh into the Spirit. As I said on the call the other night, that's why when you get down to pray, here come them thoughts. Talking about, you know what, I forgot to walk JoJo. Oh, man, you know, we need some washing powder. We don't ran short on dishwashing liquid. All those things start running in your mind. You ain't been thinking about that all day. Because your flesh does not want you to connect with the Master. Hallelujah. But when you begin to connect with God in prayer, it gives you a spiritual strength. Prayer weaponizes you. Oh my God.
Yes, sir.
If you want to show me a weak Christian, show me a prayerless Christian. Hallelujah. Because prayer weaponizes you. Prayer makes you strong in the Lord. How again are you going to have a relationship with your husband or your wife, somebody you're in a relationship with and you never talk to them?
That's it.
Huh?
That's good.
Come on here. You watch out. Prayer connects the body of Christ, to the King. Hallelujah. We connect with him in prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18 and 1, men are to always pray and not faint. Hallelujah. Then he tells us in Hebrews, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews real quick. Jesus makes a statement about prayer as well. He says, what things soever you pray, he says this, he says, believe that you receive them. Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Believe mm-hmm. that you receive them. We cannot pray without faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to believe him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them. Come on. Prayer.
He's diligently seeking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a rewarder of them that mm-hmm. diligently seek him. If you seek
uh-huh.
God, he rewards you with his wisdom. He rewards you with his power. Let me tell you something. If you got something mm-hmm. going on in your life, I dare you to arm yourself with prayer. Hallelujah. When the mm-hmm. believer arms himself with prayer, Jesus
mm-hmm.
told us, he said, don't even take a thought of what you're going to say. He said, I'll fill your mouth.
mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He's going to fill the words in our little mouth. That can't happen without prayer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's a rewarder
mm-hmm.
of them that diligently seek him.
That's
number two, the lack of prayer is hindering. Number three, let's go to Luke 17:21-23. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter, the 21st through the 23rd verse. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Only got a few more to go. I'm coming through here. Let's go to Luke,
mm-hmm.
the 17th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people are being blessed by this. The 21st through the 23rd verse.
Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say mm-hmm. to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But this is Jesus speaking of what is to come. Hallelujah. Let's talk to another verse. But the lack of commitment is number three. The lack of commitment. We got people that are uncommitted, and that's why it's hindering the work of the church. Uncommitted. So a lot of people say that they are with the Lord, but the Lord says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 6:46. Can we go to Luke 6:46?
I want to just jump in real quick because I got to go.
Yes, sir.
Brother Tom, this is excellent, man. This is excellent. I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of it. And I'm telling you, you are all over it, my brother. I just want to commend you for such a powerful a lesson. And, man, I am so glad we are in relationship and fellowship. listen, you've been all over it, man. You know, it has always been our stance in ministry to evangelize, discipleship, and then have evangelism. Start with evangelizing, bring them in, disciple them, and then teach them how to go back out and evangelize. And so just to hear everything you said on the line this far has been such a tremendous blessing to me. It's been affirmation about even some other things that I'm dealing with and going through. So, brother, I appreciate you for spending that kind of quality time in God's face to prepare
Amen.
Such an awesome lesson, man. And may God continue to bless
Amen.
You and Brother Manny. I love you, brothers.
Love you, man. I'm going to try
love
to finish
too,
this in the next 6 minutes. We love
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I'll take care.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
So he says here, number three, the lack of commitment. And he said in Luke 6:46, Jesus said it also in Luke, the 10th chapter, where we started off our lesson tonight. He talked about that. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And in Luke 4:46, he said, why call me Lord, Lord? and do not what I say. There's a lack of commitment that is hindering the body of Christ from being what God intended the church to be. Number four, there's a lack of faith. Hebrews 11 and 6, he says this, we just read it, but in the beginning of that text, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Lack of servitude. We got to serve. We talked about that earlier, and Luke 10, he talked about it. Reread that verse where he talks about he's calling us, so many people, he's calling us to serve. Serve others. Give unto others. We read that earlier in the book of Timothy. Number six, that's pride. There's a lot of pride in the body of Christ. I'm pastor so-and-so. This is my church over here. And I'm deacon so-and-so. And I'm apostle. And I'm bishop. And I'm prophet. And da-da-da-da. We have title trips. And we have people who are vying for positions within organizations. And we have people who are arguing over things that really don't mean much to what the body of Christ was purposed for. Because while we're in the church arguing over these small things, people are dying and they're lost, and they need our help. Hallelujah. Pride, Proverbs 16, 18, and 19, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before it falleth. Number seven, selfishness. Brother Manny, can you read Philippians 2 and 3? That's the seventh and the last thing that is hindering the church. Going back over while he's finding that, number one, false doctrine. Hallelujah. False doctrine. And that's 1 John 4, 1 Timothy 4. Number two, that's lack of prayer. Luke 18. Hosea 4 and 6. Number three is the lack of commitment. Lack of commitment. That's Luke 6, 4, 6, and also referencing Luke 10. Number four is lack of faith. Hebrews 11 and 6. Number five is lack of servitude. Hallelujah. Lack of servitude. People are not serving as they should. As Luke 10 said in that second verse, he says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Hallelujah. Pride, Proverbs 16 and 18. And then number seven is selfishness. That's Philippians 2 and 3. Do you have it, Brother Murphy?
Yes. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen. He said, don't be selfish. Don't do it for your own glory. Esteem others more than yourself. And how about 1 Corinthians 10, 24? What does it say to us? 1 Corinthians 10, 24.
1 Corinthians 10, 24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
Amen. Don't seek your own. This is scripture now telling us not to seek our own. Don't be selfish. Don't look for it for yourself. Remember, you're doing it for the work and the glory of the Lord. James, can you go to James, the third chapter and the 16th verse?
James, third chapter and the 16th verse, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm going to let you read in the King James, and then I'll read in the Message Bible.
Okay. Says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Woo, my goodness. Then he says this. It says it in the Message Bible like this. Whenever you are trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the throats of others.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our last verse is Mark 8:34. Mark the 8th chapter and the 34th verse. Mark the 8th chapter and the 34th verse. I hope this study's been good, surface stuff for you to dig down into. Again, I can go further and dig a little deeper. But with the time allotted that I had, I wanted to give you something good. So I took a little time to just put some surface things together to you about the foundation purpose of the church. Hallelujah. Is the church doing what God called it to do? Let's read that 8:34. What does it say, Brother Manny?
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Amen. He must deny himself. You got to rid yourself of all selfishness and don't think about you in the situation. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you have to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. Hallelujah. You got to deny yourself. It's important for us to understand that God has placed the church here on the earth for a purpose. He left the disciples to do his work. He left us in charge. And I'm sorry, I said there was the last scripture, but Brother Manny, can you go to Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12? And as I close, I want to share an analogy that the great apostle Richard Daniel Hinton shared. He was one of my favorite preachers, along with G.E. Patterson. But there's enough revelation in God where I don't have to steal somebody's revelation, so I give him full credit for it. Again, this is scripture, but it is the late apostle Richard Daniel Hinton shared this thought with the church, and I wanted to share it with you. Brother Manny, can you read Ephesians 4 and 11?
Yes, sir. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Until what?
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. He gave, now you got to watch this. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible while I give you what Apostle Hinton gave. He said he gave, firstly, Brother Manny, what was the first thing he said he gave?
He gave some apostles.
He gave some apostles. Now, that word apostle, he gave some heads, some leaders of the church, and he gave them apostles. Now, if we take our hands, this is what's commonly called the fivefold ministry. And as Apostle Hinton taught it, and I'm going to carry it on as long as I live, and I'm going to always give him credit. He taught it as when he gave those apostles that pinky finger. If you take your pinky finger, you can touch every finger on your hand with your pinky finger by its face, with your thumb, I'm sorry, if you take your thumb. That thumb is the apostles. He gave some apostles. Every finger on the hand, every part of the fivefold ministry can touch the thumb. Can you touch every Can the face of your fingers touch your thumb, Brother Manny?
Yes, sir.
Every one of your fingers, that's the apostle. The apostle is the general of the church, the head. There's no office or calling in the church higher than the apostle in the church, okay? What was the second one he gave?
And some prophets.
He gave some prophets. Now, that prophet, take your index finger, Brother Manny. What is it that we use to point with?
The index finger.
We point with our, nobody takes their thumb or their little finger or, I ain't going to talk about the middle finger, but their other finger, their ring finger.
Right.
And point right. with it. They take their index finger, the prophet. The prophet is come to put things in line. He come to point out what's not right. He come to first call for repentance. And then after he called for repentance, he come to tear down sin and build up righteousness. He come to point us on the path of God. What's the next finger and the next title?
And some evangelists.
Evangelists. Now, what is your – now, this old finger we use to put up that middle finger, don't put it up on nobody. But that middle finger, that's the longest finger on a traditional hand. Brother Manny, what's the longest finger on your hand?
My middle finger.
Is it your middle? That middle finger is the evangelist. That evangelist goes out, huh? The evangelism go out. more evangelism is supposed to take place to keep the body filling, to keep souls coming into the kingdom. Evangelism. What's the fourth one, Brother Manny?
And some pastors and teachers.
Some pastors. Now, that pastor is that ring finger. Why? That pastor is married to the local church. He's married to the local church. Hallelujah. Isn't this a great revelation? And then
yes,
he says,
it is.
Last, what's the last finger? What's the last finger?
Teachers.
Teachers. That's the shortest finger on the hand. And that's because we get less of that than anything. But that's what we need more of. We're short when it comes to teaching. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some pastors, that ring finger married to the church, and some teachers. And he gave them for a purpose. What did he give them for, Brother Manny? He gave them
for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Listen, he gave it for the perfection so that we build up the saints. He gave it for the work of the ministry. And then why did he give it? Till we all do what?
Till we all come into the unity of the faith.
Now, why did he
say that?
Why did he say that, Brother Murphy? Because he knew that the enemy would come in and bring division among us. He knew that our churches would get divided and separated over these little things. He said, but he gave leadership to do their job and be in place so that when he comes, he finds a ready church for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. But till we all, I'm sorry, read that last line,
till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
He gave these authoritative positions in the church and callings in the church and gifts in the church so that we could all come to a place where the church is built up and is ready and perfected, and the church is doing, it's fulfilling its purpose. It's doing what God wanted it to. It's reaching souls. It's winning people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that the greatest way to win people is with your walk. Mother Dr. Christine Morris taught us very well, and she said, I'd rather see you walk any day than to hear you talk. Your walk will make your reach effective. Woo!
Amen.
Brother Man, did you hear that revelation? Your walk will make your reach effective. And so we need to be a body that is fulfilling the purpose of the gospel. I hope I've taught somebody something good tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you because you do all things well. We praise you for Brother Manny, and we praise you for God's word to man. Praise you for all of the brothers who share, who give your words of wisdom. And we just thank you for the more, for just being God. We pray for God, these families tonight that have lost family members to COVID-19. And we pray, God, as we start to peek out of our windows and as we start to try to bud up out of this, from under this virus, as the leaves are budding up from under the winter's grass, we pray, God, that you would bless us to remember this moment and take the work of the Lord and the purpose of the church seriously and fulfill our calls where you have called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We want to thank Brother Tom for taking the time and coming to teach this lesson. We definitely want to welcome him back anytime he is able and schedule permits. We want to thank Reverend Murphy for joining us, even though, you know, he had to go. We know that he's always here to provide insight. And so, again, if you want to follow Brother Tom, where should they locate you on social media?
They can locate me at Tom Lyon or on Twitter, at Tom Lyon Lyon, Facebook, Tom Lyon, Instagram, Author Tom Lyon. And so be on the lookout. We're at Trinity Tabernacle in North Minneapolis, 2314 Plymouth Avenue North. Happy to serve as a humble servant. And one of the things I want to remind people of is that if you want to, you can be a part of the effort to help feed families in this hour. We've been blessed to help feed 3 to 4 families per week that are suffering during the time of COVID-19 and making sure they keep groceries on the table. And so it is a blessing. And so you can go to PayPal, itrydaily@gmail.com, or you can hashtag itrydaily at Cash App. We're only asking for $5 or $10. So if God's blessed you to be in that position to do that, help us feed somebody in need. I'm personally making sure, I'm personally delivering these funds via Cash App and PayPal to families in need personally. So those are my personal accounts. And so you know you can trust me to make sure those funds are handled right and used exactly for what we're saying we're using them for. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom. And as always, as a reminder, definitely follow us over at God's Word to Man on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, God's Word to Man. And you can also email us if you have any questions, any comments, or even a prayer request, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GodsWord, the number 2, MAN, @gmail.com. All right, folks, listen, it's been a wonderful, wonderful evening. I thank God for you. May God continue to bless you and keep you, is our prayer. Remember to join us tomorrow at 7 p.m. God bless you, Brother Tom. Join us tomorrow at 7 p.m. We'll have Brother Nate coming with his continued lesson on adultery. God bless you, everyone. Good night.
What we need is a special word that will burn.